Next case is 962789, disciplinary counsel versus Joseph Blackwell. Mr. Koblenz.
Please support. My name is Rich Koblenz. I represent Joe Blackwell. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. Please support.
Yes.
I very much doubt these 5 or 10 minutes. First of all, Your Honors, we are not here to present any speeches. We believe that justice compels an examination of sanctions involving this matter based upon all the facts, and quite frankly, it's our belief that sanctions should be reduced. This court has spoken on many occasions, and most recently, and probably most eloquently, in the Trumbo case last year, about the purpose of the disciplinary system. The purpose of the system in this state is to protect the public, and we believe in this situation the public has not been harmed. This is a matter of the facts of first impression for the court, star now. And that is that it is a strict suspension 64 for lack of CLE. And I don't mean by the word simply that we're trying to excuse what Mr. Blackwell did, that there was no client harm here, there was no complaint filed by any client. Joe Blackwell's been a member of the bar for over 30 years, and in that period of time, there has never been any instance where he has ever been alleged in the first client or the ever. He's been an exemplary member of the bar for that period of time. When Joe Blackwell was suspended, he undertook certain steps, unlike other cases that we've read. He immediately hired counsel. He immediately brought himself into compliance, and I believe the record is very clear that he brought himself into compliance for the CLE by November of 1995. He had petitions for reinstating Kenny before the court. Those petitions were never acted upon. However, they were presented to the court. And if the court has examined the record before disciplinary or before the Board of Commissioners, one can see that all that work has been done and had been presented to this court some 18 months ago. In addition, Mr. Blackwell had problems that were caused to reflect by his wife's death back in the late 1980s. He suffered from alcoholism. He never had a bar discipline problem because of that, but recognized his own problem with alcoholism, substance abuse, and his late death had caused some of the problems he had with registration. He was out of compliance with registration.
The question I had, you made a comment that this is a case in which respondent was being sanctioned only for not complying with CLE requirements. But he practiced law while he was suspended, didn't he? Or while he was not authorized to practice.
No, that is correct, Your Honor. Okay. The suspension was based upon lack of CLE. It was not based upon harm to a client or any other order of this court. And he was amongst the first group that actually was suspended from the practice of law by this court.
But that's really, it seems to me that when a lawyer practices, when the lawyer is not authorized to practice by the Supreme Court, that's pretty serious. I mean, that lawyer is saying, in effect, I don't have to follow the rules, even the rules of the court that holds my license. Isn't that pretty serious?
It seems to me that there's no question it's pretty serious. I think every case where a lawyer comes before this court is pretty serious. There's no question it's pretty serious. I think the thing is we have to look at the individual and look at all the facts surrounding it, rather than just mechanistically coming up with a sanction. That's our position.
The panel didn't mention his. I didn't think they mentioned his problems that with alcohol.
It was part of the agreed stipulations that went into findings of fact, Your Honor. I don't know if they did not make that as a specific finding of fact, but it was stipulated and it was part of the evidence that went before the panel. I believe that that is all part of the record, which is why we didn't go into it. But he did go through Rosary Hall in Cleveland, and his recovery, he's been recovering for approximately 7 years. But that did cause, one of the counts was that he was not registered for a period of approximately, I believe, about 18 months. Back in the 89-90 year. And that was the period of time that he was fighting the substance abuse problem. He brought himself into compliance with the registration requirements following that. And we simply bring that out to show the situation. Also, he has battled a number of health problems. Had heart surgeries recently as last year. Your Honor, nothing that we're presenting here is meant to denigrate the seriousness of this matter. And I'm not saying he was right. And one of the other problems I've really, I've battled with how to really approach this, we're dealing with a man in his late 60s. And one of the things that I've learned in my practice is that it's a different situation when we're dealing with people who've been around for a while. They don't understand necessarily the gravity of the rules that this court's promulgated. The rules have been changed on them since they became attorneys. And I'm not saying it's right, but I am saying that the situation is a little bit different. I think when we're looking at somebody who's been a member of the bar for in excess of 30 years, as opposed to somebody who becomes a member of the bar now and has been schooled through law school with all of the items that come before this court and with all of the requirements that we have as members of the bar, the court's aware.
Let me ask you again, just so I make sure I have the facts. You mentioned that he's been a recovering alcoholic for 7 years. Is that right?
He's been in recovery for 7 years.
Oh, okay. Not yet recovering. Now maybe we're playing with words, but has he been recovering? Which means that he has not been addicted for. I mean, he hasn't had a problem for 7 years.
Since late 1990, okay. Early 1991, Your Honor. I'm not
okay.
Sure exactly the date, but it goes back to either, like I say, late 1990, 1991.
Wasn't some of his practice much later than that when he was suspended?
Oh, he was suspended, Your Honor, after that.
1995.
He was toward the registration count. There were count two of the complaint, and the finding of the board was that he practiced law in the 1989-1990 era, and he had not paid his registration fee. I simply mentioned that relative to that count.
Okay, the under count three, respondent previously stipulated he has practiced law during his CLE suspension from August 1st, 1995 to date in several cases. What is that?
That's correct.
Okay, so he was recovering then. The alcohol was not something that caused
him. I was simply using the alcohol to address the lack of payment of registration fees approximately 6 years earlier than that.
Okay. I guess back to my earlier point that to me his most egregious conduct occurred after his recovery. That is practicing law when the Supreme Court says you can't practice law.
That is correct.
What do we need to do to let him know that we're serious about
it? Well, I think, Your Honor, we have let him know that we're serious about it. He's been through the system. He has not practiced in over a year. He has sat out. He's been sitting at home that entire period of time. He has had to come back and go through these entire proceedings. I think that the message is very clear. I believe, with all due respect to this court, sometimes this court doesn't understand the effect and the message gets across the practicing bar of going through the disciplinary procedure. I believe that there perhaps is a situation where, sitting here in Columbus, you don't realize the effect that going through this procedure does have on the individual. I don't believe that anybody would look at this court ameliorating this suspension and say, gee, I think I'll do what Joe Blackwell did, because nothing happens. Mr. Blackwell has given his practice up. He's been at home for the last year. This is a man who's been a fine lawyer. And I understand that what he did was wrong. But he also was expecting to be reinstated. And I don't know what went on. I was not first counsel, who Ms. Sabella was. I became counsel to Mr. Blackwell last summer after this matter had already been certified by the Board of Commissioners. He had been told that you were going to be reinstated. Now, does that excuse what he did? No. And nobody's coming up and saying there's an excuse for what he did, but I think that we have to look at the individual and look at the purpose that the system fits for society, which is the protection of the public. I don't believe that anybody can contend that he harmed anybody to the public. In fact, when he testified in deposition about these situations, people were allowed very poor clients, he didn't feel could get a representation. I'm not saying it's right, but this is not somebody who's going out making lots of money and charging huge retainers. These were a lot of pro bono cases, and it was the type of thing that he did. It was wrong. I'm not asking anybody to go ahead and pat him on the head, but I am asking this court to examine and say that what would really be appropriate here is, in addition to the time you've been out of the practice and the fact that you're now in compliance, it is our belief that a 2-year suspension, with that suspension stayed, a requirement of probation, monitoring, law office management, would be a far more just sanction than an indefinite suspension, which, quite frankly, in Mr. Blackwell's case, at his age, is really a permanent disbarment. We're talking about a man who's in his late 60s, he's in bad health. I don't believe that he would be in a position to ever be reinstated should an indefinite
Council had even a better opportunity than we will have to examine the man, and yet they recommended indefinite suspension, which was then recommended by the board. What, do you think that we should see something, how would that, it would be hard for us to do that, hold the council to look at the man?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because quite frankly, this board changes annual board recommendations every day.
Oh, we do. Indeed, we do. But we only have the record.
I understand that, but I think if you look at the record, you look at the letters that are there about what he has done, if you look at the lack of other, this court looks at disciplinary cases every day, we see them in the green book, and all of the egregious things that happen. If we look at the cases where this court has ruled indefinite suspension, just the case we've said in our brief, or Huntsie, look at the things that those lawyers did to the public. Joe Blackwell did nothing.
It's a very big problem, though, as you can imagine, counsel, when we, the only leverage this court has is suspension from the practice, and yet we continue to hear, and your client is not. Perhaps his suspension didn't emanate from mistreatment of clients, but nevertheless, he was suspended, and we have lots of stories, and we have examples of folks who ignore suspension and continue to practice, folks who are harming clients and ignore suspension. So I guess you're asking this court to look at suspensions for CLE, ignoring CLE suspension as different from ignoring other sorts of
suspensions. I'm not asking the court to keep ignoring. I'm asking this court to take all the factors into consideration. I believe this is different. I'm not saying that somebody shouldn't take the CLE. I think it should be CLE hours. I think it's not right not to take CLE. But I believe that the court should look at what the basis of the suspension was in coming to its decision. Nobody's asking you to stay there and say suspension's okay.
Ignoring suspensions, counsel, okay? The ignoring of suspensions is really what's at issue here. And that's a problem among the, from what we see. That's a problem when we suspend lawyers. A fair number ignore that.
Your Honor, I agree that that is a problem, and I understand that's why we're before the court today.
Counsel, how long has it been since he realized he wasn't supposed to be representing people and he stopped doing that?
About a year ago. Okay. I started representing a year ago. He completely stopped everything, gave his office up.
What was a miraculous recovery that he found out he shouldn't be practicing? What happened?
I think that he and I had a little session in my office, Your Honor, and we talked about what we need to do to respect court orders.
So for the last year, he has been finally in compliance with not representing anybody.
That is correct. Okay. He has not done anything for the past year, and Your Honor, we simply ask the court to look at all of the circumstances involved, and also look at the other cases where this court rules indefinite suspensions and make the punishment here a fit crime. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Koblenz. Ms. Stark.
Good morning, Your Honor. The Board of Commissioners, the hearing panel, I should say, stated on page 8 of their findings of fact, in the instant manner responded, exhibited in total disregard of the Supreme Court order suspending, and just not in one instance, but in several. This lack of adherence to the court's order and continuing course of conduct cannot be tolerated. End of quote.
Is it true that he has been in compliance for the past year?
I do not know that. I'm just basing it on the reference to that.
So you have no evidence to say that that's not true?
That I have no evidence, sir. We're just based upon the time period, August 11, 1995 through April 9th of 1996. We later was informed about the first count being the size of this case. During the latter portion of 1995, during the latter portion of November, early December, a meeting was held with Mr. Blackwell, and we went over the fact that he had been practicing in this one matter. You can read this in the brief stipulations, Exhibit 14, page 11. We advised him that the court order was absolute, he could not practice law. But he continued to do this for another 5 months. He stated the reason that he had practiced in the Spivey case is because he was worried about the emotional impact on his client. And if the record will show, Of all cases that he handled, in only one case did he actually notify a client that he was suspended, and that was in the case of Barbara Stalder. But even after he advised her, he continued to handle the case until April of 96. Basically, we have a three-count complaint here with the finding of five disciplinary rule violations and one government rule violation. We have an attorney practicing law from August 15, 1995, and suspended by this court, practicing in April 9, 1996. What does this involve? This involves 9 separate cases, 21 clients, 36 actions as an attorney, either receiving correspondence, filing motions or papers, or notarizing as an attorney. Even after receiving court order, even after discussion with disciplinary counsel, Mr. Blackwell continued to practice legally the appropriate sanction for disregarding this court's order and practicing the number of cases within the indefinite suspension. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stoic. Mr. Kobach, you've saved a little over a minute of your time.
Once again, the only thing that we would really ask the court to do is look at all the totality circumstances. By no certain reason, please think that I'm asking the court that we cannot do this. But I really believe that the court must take into consideration all the factors involved, and also the era of Mr. Blackwell. He felt that he was, I'm not saying he was right, but he felt that by putting himself in compliance and doing these things, he was trying to do the right thing. And it was misbenighted, it was wrong, but it was not born out of the hard road. Now, if we look at the number of circumstances Mr. Blackwell lays on the record, these are things like receiving a letter. I mean, we're not talking about him going into court all that number of times. We're talking about the times opposing counsel sends a cover letter, or sends a set of interrogatories, or things like that. We're not talking about specific things. And again, I'm not trying to say that what he did was right. I'm just trying to say that it's not quite as horrible as it may sound in one of your 36 actions as a lawyer and all these various other things. Additionally, and I think this court should just really keep in consideration, no client was harmed. And I really believe that that is something that's very, very critical because we are here to protect the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.